Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Will you just allow the praise to flow out of your mouth for a few moments? I will bless the Lord. I will exalt his name. I give him thanks for his favor. I give him thanks for his goodness. I give him thanks for his mercies. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. We magnify the name of the Lord this morning. And we give him thanks for his goodness and his favor towards us. Father in heaven, what a great privilege you have given us today to come before you, Father, to have you minister to us. God, I pray every heart is opened before you. I pray every heart is yielded and surrendered before you. I pray, Almighty God, that Lord God, no hindrance, no obstacles will prevent us from getting in your presence. I pray, oh God, that we have not yet gotten into the flow of the work of the ministry, that Lord God, we would enter into the stream this morning. God, I bless you, Father, for what you have given to us. I pray, oh God, that you will be glorified and your name will be exalted as we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Remember the last time I made a statement the last time, and I think I need to bear it one more time before you. And just to remind us that we are not a Christian because we may say that we are Christians. And said some other things, that we're not Christians because we attend church and so forth. But the thing that I highlighted at that time was that the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Please make sure that you have your Bibles open. We're going to read some scriptures this morning, and I would like you to follow every scripture that we have. Some you might not get to, but I'll let you know which of those scriptures they are. And also make sure that you have a pen and paper ready. I went over what I said the last time because it's quite possible, I believe, that somebody new or who wasn't here last third Sunday is in the congregation right now. But also that somebody who has not heard it before will hear it at some point in time, even as you go to the Apostolic Church in America.com, the website, so that we may have no doubt and still have an opportunity then to believe in our heart and to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we have read two passages of Scripture, very powerful passages of Scripture. They don't normally link together, but I'm going to just give what the Lord has given to me, nevertheless. And from these two passages of Scripture, I'm going to preach using the title, God is Seeking My Heart. The first passage is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 13. Verse 1 to verse 9. And it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Please follow in your Bibles. It says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. I want to stick a pin right there and let us know that today is a day when great multitudes are gathered to him. Gathered together before the Lord in many countries, nations of the world. Great multitudes are gathered. And the psalmist says, oh, good and pleasant it is for for brethren to dwell together in unity. So even as we read this scripture, there are multitudes, as Pastor Henry mentioned, that are gathered together. So verse 2 says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, who is him, to Jesus. So that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8 says, but others fell into good ground. Would you say good ground?
Good ground.
Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And verse 9 says, who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yes.
So I'm speaking, yes, using the title, God is seeking my heart. Would you say that God is seeking my heart?
God is seeking my heart.
Bless the Lord. So the condition of the heart is the reason why God is seeking your heart. The condition of my heart is the reason why God is seeking my heart.
Yes.
So scriptures in Proverbs 4 and 24, it says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Right. Yes.
In Matthew 15:18, these you can just write them down. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Mm-hmm. Say, God is seeking my heart.
God is seeking my heart.
In Luke 6:45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
Yes.
Then in Jeremiah chapter 17 and 19, you could write that. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it is his question. Jeremiah 29:13. The Lord's invitation is, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So the condition of the heart is the reason why God is seeking our heart. In David's plea for cleansing in Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. He's asking God for a clean heart. And I want us to make it personal this morning and recognize that God is seeking my heart. Now, the parable of the seed and the sower, in some ways, I'm going a different direction now, but in some ways, it really describes, one of the things it does is that it describes the condition of the heart and God's intention to do something about it. God doesn't want our heart to remain the same. And so this parable, you know, a parable contains kingdom mysteries when you look at verse 11 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Parables are teaching, they teach spiritual truths, using earthly comparisons. It's using like an unknown truth to communicate an unknown truth. Using a truth that is known concerning farming and seeds and sowing to reveal or to communicate an unknown truth. So this parable, chapter 13 of Matthew, the parable, we call it the parable of the seed and the sower. And we need to understand what is the intent of the sower, because the sower is important. The sower is one of the central figures in it. Now, the intent of the sower is readily revealed to us in verse 1. It says this, the same day Jesus went, in verse 3. It says, and he spake many things unto them in private, saying, behold, a sower went forth to do what?
To sow.
So the intention of the sower is made known. The other thing to recognize is, what is the sower sowing? I want us to jump down a bit to verse 19. To verse 19, same Psalm 13, verse 19. It says, and this is part of the interpretation, but I'm just skipping some things now. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown where? In his heart. So the intention of God, God's intention is to sow his word where? Into our hearts. So we know the intention of the sower, that he went to sow seed, and his seed was the word, and his intent is for it to come into our hearts. But as you and I know, that there are two kingdoms that are at war. So when it's this same verse 19, stay with me for a little. Same way in verse 19, it says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So you have the kingdom of light sowing the word, and the kingdom of darkness opposing the word. And every time we gather, even now as we gather, there's this war going on. But God is seeking my heart. God is seeking your heart. So it's the battle of the kingdoms for our soul. Where it says he catches it away, it means that he snatches it. He steals it. And that's who the enemy is. The Bible, John 10:10, says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there's a correlation between hearing the word, what we do with the word, and then what we become. And I'm going to show that later in these scriptures. But there's a correlation between hearing the word, what you do with the word, and then what you become. In other words, if you receive the word well, if you practice the word, you're going to bear fruits. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want us to recognize this. The seed is the same. I'm looking at the parable. It's talking about these different soil, but the seed is the same. Amen? The seed is the word. And Peter jumped at this in 1 Peter 1:23. You could write that down. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Would you say this? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed. Repeat after me. Being born again.
Being born again.
Being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
But of incorruptible.
But of incorruptible.
But of incorruptible.
By the word of God.
By the word of God.
By the word of God.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
Which liveth and abideth
forever.
This tell me, you're not a common person. You're not a commoner. We are not commoners. Peter says we are a royal priesthood. Somebody bless his name.
Amen.
Amen.
We are a holy nation. We weren't born with a seed that can be corrupted. We were born again with a seed that was corrupted. Our first birth was with corruptible seed. But when we were born again, this was an incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're not commoners. Don't let anybody try to put you down to make you feel as if you are a commoner. As if you are not a person of dignity and royalty. Peter says you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So the word is the same, and it is an incorruptible word. Nothing is wrong with the word, with the seed that is sown. Nothing is wrong with the seed. The soil is the same in all four circumstances. However, the soil is different. Four different types of soil, which is a reflection of the four different hard conditions that exist. Somebody bless his name. So in verse 4 of chapter 13 of Matthew, it says, some fell by the wayside in verse 4. That's one condition. Then in verse 5, it says, some on upon stony places. That's another condition. Then in verse 7, if you skip down to verse 7, it says, and some fell among thorns. That's another condition of the heart. And then in verse 8, it says, others into good ground. That's another condition of the heart. So whenever the word is going forward, and Jesus gives the explanation later in verses 19 to 23. But at every point in time, even now, whenever the word is going forward, there is this kingdom of darkness that is come to snatch that word, is come to corrupt the word. And we have to be mindful of our heart's condition. Would you say God is seeking my heart?
God is seeking my heart.
And so, when you discern where people are along the spiritual grid of hearing, we have them in our families and in our circles. You pray for them in your prayer time. I have family members who are in the first category, where the word keeps falling by the wayside, it seems. And in other categories, but in your prayer time, you pray for that person according to that condition which you have discerned. Somebody praise his name.
Amen.
So Jesus explains the parable to the disciples in verses 19 and 23, because it shows the condition of the heart. Verse 19 says, which we read earlier, it says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom. Notice where the word is from. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. It's talking in Mark, it talks about when it describes, it doesn't say the wicked one, but it says, Mark chapter, Let me not go to the scripture. But Mark and Luke also have the same description. In Mark it says, Satan cometh to snatch the word. In Luke it says, the devil cometh to snatch the word. Matthew says, the wicked one. It's all of it's. In other words, demons come to take the word. To prevent us from receiving the word. Hallelujah. But it says some fell by the wayside. When it falls by the wayside is that there's no response to the gospel. This is a group that doesn't respond to the gospel at all. So he explains in verse 19, there that the enemy, the devil, the wicked one, Satan, cometh and catch it away, snatch, steal the word that which was sown in his heart. It says, this is he who received seed by the wayside. Bless his name. Then verse 20 to 21 describes the second hard condition. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, with joy receive it. quickly receive it with joy. Yet he has no root in him. He has no root in himself. But endure it for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and bye-bye, he is offended. So this particular heart is quick to receive the word. I get excited, emotional. But has no depth in themselves, no kind of character, so to speak. That when trouble comes, they depart. They are offended. And the third heart condition is described in verse 22. It says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So this is the person who is hearing the word, receiving the word, but his heart is set upon something else. Somebody bless his name.
Amen.
His heart is set upon something else. And because his heart is set upon, listen to this, it's the things of the world. The cares of life of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they are the ones that choke out the word. In other words, there's no place in his heart to properly receive the word because his heart is set upon something else. And then in the first condition of the heart, it says, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Yes.
So we have this parable that Jesus uses, which in a way it describes the condition of man's heart, but it also reveals the intent of God to do something about it. He's sending his word. The psalmist says he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word. And as people are gathered all over the world today to hear the word of God, God has sent his word. And he says that in the scripture, it says, listen, that his word will not return to him void. That which he has sent, it will accomplish that which he has sent. And it shall not return unto him void. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now the second scripture that was read was from the book of Revelation. And it's written to the church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. You can please turn there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. And I'm going to read it. It says, here's some more pages turning. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Very interesting scripture, because the Laodicean church represents the unbelieving and materialistic church. I think they would fall somewhere as the third category in the heart in the parable, where they deceitful, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. The Laodicean church was a rich church financially, a very blessed church with material wealth. They represent this materialistic church that we have now in many parts of America, but in many parts of the world too. The Bible says that they were lukewarm. That's what Jesus says. The Amen says, you are lukewarm. Hallelujah. He says you are lukewarm.
Yes.
The faithful and true witness says you are lukewarm. The beginning of the creation of God says you are lukewarm. The Alpha and the Omega says you are lukewarm. Meaning they give mixed signals. They are half committed, indifferent to the world, complacent at times, lethargic, self-satisfied, and just neutral. And this is their way of their spiritual life right throughout. Lukewarm. Any Christian that ignores or neglects God's word does so at his own peril. We are in danger when we neglect or ignore God's word. A lukewarm church or believer is half-hearted for everything. Lukewarm believer is half-committed and lukewarm to worship. A lukewarm believer is half-committed and lukewarm to witnessing. That's why God is after our heart. A lukewarm believer is half-committed and lukewarm to praying. Don't invite them to no prayer meetings. A lukewarm believer is half committed and warm to and lukewarm to Bible study. This is the condition of the Laodicean church. A lukewarm believer is half committed and lukewarm to practicing the word. A lukewarm believer is half committed and lukewarm to serving. A lukewarm believer is half committed and they're lukewarm to giving.
Yes, sir.
A lukewarm believer is half committed and lukewarm to holy living. Just lukewarm. This is the Laodicean church. Lukewarm church. And the amen says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Choose something. Choose a direction. And God is saying to us, I'm giving you a chance to get out of this condition. God is seeking my heart, is it? Title of the message. God is seeking my heart. You make it personal.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying to us, I'm giving you a chance to get out of that condition, the lukewarm condition. And for every man, every brother, every sister, to examine ourselves and to see what aspect of our life, our spiritual life, we have been lukewarm. And we understand from the scripture that the Lord does not like that condition. And so he has sent his word. And I'm amazed by the different opinion that exists with the Laodicean church. If you look at verse 17, go with me to verse 17a. They said, the Lord says that they say, I am rich. This is their view of themselves. Their view of themselves says they are rich. Their view of themselves says they are increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's their view of themselves. So two views are pictured in this 17th verse. The view, the Laodicean church have view of themselves. I am rich, I'm increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And then God's view, the Lord's view in part B. The Lord says, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Laodicean church, they valued material stuff over spiritual stuff. Let me say this again. The Laodicean church valued material stuff over spiritual stuff. And I want to say this to the church and to every church, that the health of the church is not measured by its ability to afford everything, but rather its faithful commitment to depend on God to supply all its needs according to its riches in glory by Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 4:19. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. And the health of a church is not dependent on the size of its membership, but upon the condition of the heart of the members. 119, people who are willing and obedient, Isaiah 119 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So it's not about the size of the membership, but upon the condition of the heart of the members, the yieldedness of the members. Somebody bless his name.
Praise the Lord.
The lukewarm church or believer does not depend on the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. It's common in our times. The church is not a self-sustaining body, but it's spirit-empowered. Somebody bless his name.
Amen. Praise God.
It's a spirit-empowered entity organism. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Not before the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Not without the Holy Ghost. The only time we get power is because the Holy Ghost is upon us. Inside in us now. So it's not a self-sustaining body. And apparently the Laodicean church felt like they were so self-sustaining. So he says in Acts 1 and 8, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In a lukewarm church, there's no hunger for God. Would you just say, God is seeking my heart?
God is seeking my heart.
Would you open yourself and say, God is seeking my heart?
God is seeking my heart.
Yes, he is. And let's say this. Let me say this also as well. God has never depended upon the church to give him any victory, but the church must depend upon him to give us the victory.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So he has never depended upon us to give him any victory. But the church depends upon him to give us the victory. You might have heard me testify before I was working at this place. And there's just trouble going on. It wasn't a good environment. And as I went before the Lord made me know. He says, listen, I'm not sending you there because I think you'll be able to do something about it. Meaning in my strength. But he says, I'm sending you there. I send my people in places where there are problems and troubles. So that they may invite my presence in. So that I may do something about it. So he's not dependent upon us to give him any victory. But we are dependent upon him to give us the victory. And I like the fact that the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody bless his name.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The beauty of the Bible, part one of the beauty of the Bible is that we get to know the end before we even get there. It's the only tool or word or the only thing that is in existence. We get to know the end of life and the end of this journey before we get there. Right now we know what the end is. And so when the Lord speaks, when he spoke to the Laodicean church, he spoke to them that, listen, you are lukewarm, and I'd rather you be cold or hot. The Laodicean church is in this condition because it did not treasure or value the word. It placed more value on things. But God, in the parable, Jesus in the parable, he says, he sowed the word. The sower sowed the word. I pray that every one of us would value the word of God above everything else.
Yes.
I want to point us to some things that I want you to track in your Bibles with me. Because God made a common statement to all of the churches in the book of Revelation. Would you say God is seeking my heart?
God is is seeking my heart. Seeking my heart.
And would you just say, here's my heart, Lord.
Here is my heart, Lord.
Take and seal it.
Take and seal it.
He's seeking our heart, so our response ought to be, here's my heart, Lord.
Take and seal it for thy throne above.
Don't withhold the heart from God. Surrender to God. Because he knows what's in our heart, as we read earlier scriptures. But he had this common statement which he made to all of the churches in the book of Revelation. And so I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2 first. I'll wait on you. Just please turn your Bibles there to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to look at a common statement that he made to all of the churches. Revelation chapter 2. To the first church he spoke to was to Ephesus. Look at verse 7. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Amen. Then to the church in Smyrna. Drop down to verse 11. This is what he says. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
Hallelujah.
Then to the church in Pergamos. Drop down to verse 17. And we already know what he says. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Then to the church in Thyatira. Drop down to verse 29. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Then in chapter 3, to the church in Sardis, drop down to verse 13. Sorry, verse 6. Verse 6 says, he that has an ear, what?
Let him hear.
Let him hear
what the Spirit
saith
unto the
churches. Hallelujah. Then to the church in Philadelphia, drop down to verse 13 of chapter 3. Says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And drop down to verse 22 of chapter 3 of Revelation, what he says to the Laodicean church. Said,
let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church.
Would you all say that together?
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches.
And will you just tell yourself, I need to hear what the Spirit said to me.
I need to hear what the Spirit said to me.
For we live according to the Spirit. We don't live according to our flesh. The demands of the flesh. And Laodicean church was going according to the demands of the flesh. But God is after the heart. Hallelujah. God is after the heart. And I pray we have gotten it. That God is after my heart. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. After he sowed the seed. Matthew 13 and verse 9. Look what he says here. Because he sowed his word. Matthew chapter 13 verse 9. It says, who has ears to hear, let him hear. It means that God places a premium on his word. Amen. God values his word. He treasures his word. And the Laodicean church did not value or treasure it. The church was stuck on materialism. A materialism. materialistic stuff. And God did not create his church to be dependent upon themselves. And I'm glad didn't make us dependent upon ourselves, because we measure ourselves by that. But rather, it's our faithful commitment to depend on him to supply all of our needs.
Yes.
It's a condition of our heart that we be willing and obedient, and so shall we the good of the land. It's not the size of the membership, but it is the condition of the heart of the members. He doesn't want us to depend upon our own human strength, but upon the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And some of us can say, because the Holy Ghost has come upon us.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us to depend, he doesn't depend on the church to give him victory. But the church depends on him to give us the victory.
Yeah.
Somebody bless his name. So God treasures and places a premium on his word. The psalmist says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. And in Psalm 138 verse 2, he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Listen to this part. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Bless his name. So God has placed a premium upon his word, and he's looking for his word to produce like the ones that fell on good soil, some producing fruits 100 times, 60 times, and 30-fold. And he's expecting that from you and I. And he doesn't want a lukewarm church. He would rather us be hot, to be honest. And the scripture, he says that those who we love, he chastens, and he prunes us. And when we bear fruit, he prunes us again so that we may bear much more fruit. And prune us again so that we may bear even more fruits. So God has declared his intention to sow his word into our heart. And when we value the word of God, we will treasure it like the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. Somebody bless his name.
Amen, amen, amen.
Treasure the word of God, church. Treasure the word of God.
Amen.
The psalmist says that it is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. It supplies guidance. Treasure the word of God. Hide it in your heart. Let the word sustain you. Let the word keep you. Let the word protect you. Let the word direct you. Let the word be your daily sustenance. He says, you shall not live by bread. That's earthly. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Somebody say every word.
Every word.
Bless his name. Every word that he speaks. Not some word. Not the ones with life. Every word that proceeded from his mouth. Somebody bless his name.
Every word.
And treasure the word of God. The Lord is seeking my heart. And he's seeking your heart. And if you're here for the very first time, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you confess with thy mouth and believe where in your heart, that's what God is after, your heart. If you believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart confession is made unto righteousness, and with the mouth. For with the heart we believe, and with the mouth we confess unto salvation. So as the Spirit of the Lord speak this morning, receive ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Treasure the word of the Lord. Call upon him. Seek him. Call upon him and you shall be found. Yield and surrender. For the Lord our God is mighty to save. And the Lord our God cometh to heal. And nothing shall stand in his way. He will come back a second time as a conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back for the church without spot or wrinkle. no lukewarm church, a hot church, a church on fire for him. Somebody praise him and bless his name and yield your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you don't know him as Lord and Savior this morning, I invite you to surrender. Just open yourself to him. As he's ministering to your heart, don't focus on who is seeing you or listening to you. You know that the Lord is speaking to you. You know you need to surrender. Yes. And if you are in a cold or a lukewarm condition, allow the Spirit of the Lord to cleanse you and to refresh you and to renew you and to pull you out of that place, because the Lord is after your heart. May the Lord bless the hearers of his word. May we be more than hearers of his word this morning. May we become doers of his word in Jesus' name. Somebody bless his name. Come on, praise his name. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus.